Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host, Musa Al Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, you will discuss issues, relevant questions, and other fields regarding the Islamic upbringing of children. And we would like to stress that the answers that we provide in this program are all based upon the narrations of the household of the Prophet and, of course, of the Prophet himself, and upon the Holy Quran, supplemented with scientific research. Joining us in the studio today is our dear friend, Sheikh Ali Himani, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for joining us.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. It's my pleasure to be here in your studio.
Dear Sheikh, last time we spoke about this age of the teenage age and even the tweens phase, as you call it, when the children, they start to develop attractions to the opposite gender. Now, when we were talking about that, we also opened and discussed the subject of why is it that girls are more attached to their fathers, and also I think vice versa, perhaps the fathers are more attached to the children, the girls, and why is it that sons are more attached to their mothers? Now, we mentioned some things about personalities, how the personalities opposites attract to a certain extent. But I feel that there might be more to this subject. So, dear Sheikh, please.
Let me start from the other side first, because it gives a good clarity here. And
right.
Then we will come to the children's side. If you look at the parents' side, that why is father more attached towards the daughter?
Right.
Is that the father knows that my son can protect himself, defend himself, take care of himself. However, somewhere deep down inside, the man does not have that confidence that my daughter can protect herself, take care of herself. Why? Because,
right,
again, a lot of daughters are sanguines, popular sanguines. So he notices their behavior in the house. He sees that, okay, she doesn't keep track of her books, she doesn't keep track of her shoes, she doesn't keep track of her clothes.
Right.
So she needs a protective figure.
He sees them as fragile.
Exactly. So
right,
I have to be there to protect her. I have to be there to take care of her. Now, being a father, being that macho and that aggressive and that, you know, strong personality, he can't express himself with that kind of authority in front of daughter. So with the daughter, being that strong personality, he acts, you know, nicely and fragile and, you know, patiently and caringly. And the daughter also likes that, because at one end, she's getting all that care. On the other hand, she's feeling very secured and protected in the presence of the father. While she also notices that my mother, even my mother, when she wants protection, she goes to the father.
Right.
When she wants that support
and comfort,
and that shoulder and that courage, she goes to the father. So she learns from the mother that I need to get to the father for that protection, for that security.
Makes sense.
Right. So this is how it works. The father has that sense of responsibility to protect the daughter, and the daughter, automatically looking at the mother, feels that need that if I want to feel protected and safe, I need to get to my father, and he's the person who's going to protect me.
What about the mother's attachment to her sons then?
Sons. Now, keeping in mind that father is not at home all the time.
Right, yes.
Right. And this is where the mother looks at the son as the next best option to be that protector of the house. And then the son also finds that joy and finds that satisfaction of being the protector of the family at home. So a boy who reaches teenage. I don't know. If you look at some of the earlier movies, you know,
right?
Like there was a movie, if I am not wrong, it was Mel Gibson. The name of the movie was Patriot. He had a son about 10 years old, and it was a war between the Redcoats and Whitecoats in America.
Right. The Civil War.
Yeah, right. The Civil War. So he heads out in the war, and he appoints his 10-year-old son.
You're the man of the house.
You're the man of the house.
Yes, we still have this in our culture.
Exactly.
You're the man of the house when I'm not present.
Exactly. And what does this mean? You're the man of the house. Means that you are going to be the protector of the house. And mother looks at the son as the protector. And this is where the son feels that courage.
But even a small child who's only like 1 year old, 2, 5. even at that age, the mother's like, he's my protector.
Yes, to some extent, yes. The mothers always look at their sons as those who are going to be the protectors of the family.
At least going to be in the future.
So right from that time, the mothers have a special attachment towards the son. And the son also gets all that love from the mother, which he doesn't get from the father. And that's why there's a special bond between the mother and the son here.
Let's continue this very intriguing conversation after a quick break.
Inshallah.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Sheikh, just before we went on a quick break, you mentioned the reason that a mother's more attached to her son is because she sees him as the protector of the family, or at least the future protector of the family.
Correct.
Now, Sheikh, is that always the case? Is that the sole reason why the mother is more attached to her son and why the father is more attached to his daughters?
Not necessarily. But rather, I would say the mother is more attached to all the children in a way, to a certain extent, equally, I would say. Somewhere, the son, being the son, has an upper hand compared to the girls in the house and can take care of a lot of chores, which are outdoor chores.
Right.
And that's where the mother, in a way, shows certain amount of dependency on the son.
She depends on the sons.
The son, and the son likes the fact that I have someone who trusts me, who depends on me.
I have responsibility.
I have responsibility. Right. She's treating me like a grown-up person, and he appreciates that, and he likes that environment, that I'm being treated like a man in of the house every time my dad's not around. So, and that gives that confidence to the son, and therefore these are some of the various reasons why there's the special bond and attachment between the son and the mother and the father and the daughter.
Right. Sheikh, let's circle back to our original topic, which was, now that we've spoken about this phase, about all of these attractions, naturally when a child, he enters this teenage phase with all of the hormones and all of that stuff, which is natural, they start to view the opposite gender in a different light, in a different way. They start to develop attractions.
Correct.
Which we've mentioned before, it can lead to a disastrous and catastrophic result.
Correct.
As parents, and especially for parents who live in Western countries where it is much harder to manage their children and an Islamic lifestyle, what can they do to protect their children so that they may grow up and handle this phase, navigate this phase in an Islamic way which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Correct. Like you pointed out, when the son reaches, or even the daughter, whenever the child reaches that puberty and that teenage, because of the hormonal changes, there's certain behavioral changes in them. A lot of people frown upon these behaviors. So when they notice their son looking at the opposite sex and, you know, probably staring, they get upset that, oh my God, my son, you know, he's getting carried away. Or if a girl is getting attracted towards a good looking boy. But this is natural. This is a natural process. Now, there are ways to manage this scenario.
Let's scrap these scenarios after a quick break.
All right, great. Let's come back and discuss them. Ya muqiyal khayrat,
ya muqiyal khayrat. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said,
Allah will be merciful to His servant for His intense love for His child.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Sheikh, we were talking about how parents, they should manage this life phase of the teenagers when they start to develop feelings and are attracted just generally to the opposite gender.
Correct. We were mentioning about different scenarios or different possible methodologies that can be used to manage this kind of a situation.
Right.
First and foremost, I would like to point this out that when a person is idle and he doesn't have enough work or task at his hand, this is when he gets this extra spare time to sit and think.
Which is very dangerous.
Which is superbly dangerous. And we have riwayats
many
in this
narrations
matter.
That are prohibiting, I would say, do not be idle, especially
exactly.
for youngers.
Especially yeah. when you're in that stage,
yes.
Teenage, where all your hormones are on, steroids and
overdrive,
going crazy.
Yeah. Completely, yeah.
Yeah. They're working hard. They're doing overtime, all your
yeah.
hormones.
Right.
And at this time, if your child is sitting idle and does not have tasks at hand.
And alone.
And
especially
alone,
if they have their own bedrooms, their own cell phone device, their own
exactly.
laptop.
Exactly. This is another point that we're going to discuss in our subsequent episodes about having their own personal rooms and having
yes.
their own personal devices. Inshallah, we'll talk about that.
Inshallah.
But here, sitting idle is going to leave their mind empty. And this is where they start thinking. And when they start thinking, it leads them towards those thoughts
leads
about
to
the opposite
thoughts,
sex.
And then actions. And
exactly. So what do we do? Is one of the methods is not to let them be idle. Give them a task, assign them tasks. Remember the age groups that we mentioned about the first 7 years is the Sayyid, the
right.
kind of
the master.
The master of the
yeah.
house or, the explorer.
Yeah.
And then the second one was Abd, meaning
the slave, the servant.
And the
yes.
third one was Wazir.
The now, minister or
exactly.
the
so
confidant.
Now when this teenage starts off and the child is at 14 years old, he's, according to the traditions, he's at that age of Wazir, meaning that he is now ready to accept tasks from you. Delegate
right.
tasks to him.
Responsibilities.
Give him responsibilities. Tell him shopping in your hand, lawn mowing in your hand,
right.
Probably dishwashing in your hand. I don't know. Based on the gender that you have. You have
right.
a daughter, assign her the kind of right. things that she can take care of.
Outdoor work is generally for the
for
men,
the boys,
for the boys.
And
yeah.
the indoor work for the girls,
right.
Washing clothes or whatever. But assign them. Don't think that, she's just 14, why should I?
She's too young to learn to cook.
Exactly, and overburden her with tasks
right.
and all that. But if you're not doing that, then you're giving her a lot of extra free time
right.
to sit and ponder and think. And based on all the inputs that they're getting from the TV and from internet,
right.
from all the messages and the Instagram
even the
posts.
Even foods that we eat.
Everything, even on your packagings,
right.
different food
yeah.
that you... And all those go into your brain as, subliminal messages to your subconscious mind.
Right.
And they contribute to what you think.
Of course, we should also mention that people who criticize some of these traditional ways of raising children, like teaching the daughters how to cook and the boys how to do outside work, how to go shop and buy stuff and do things, is a bad thing. But in reality, we are teaching them necessary life skills.
We
are investments.
We're teaching them how to be self-sustaining, how to be self-sufficient, how to be confident
right.
and, be independent in the future life.
In essence, yes. Sheikh, I would love to continue this discussion, but we are unfortunately out of time. I thank you for contributing to this discussion and also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. If our dear listeners have any suggestions, feedback or some comments, please contact us at our email englishradio@irib.ir. Alternatively, you can also visit our website parstoday.com. You can also find us on various social media websites such as on Twitter and Instagram under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio. Thank you for tuning in.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of Islam is a way of life, a complete way.